Shalom, bonjour, hola, hallo, grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ as we gather the beloved community for worship on this third Sunday after Pentecost. We welcome in-person worshipers, and you look great today, and our online congregants to this service of worship originating from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and I am joined by our worship team, production engineer Kim Finneson, acolyte Bob Z, as he's affectionately known, and our special musicians Jamie Keller, Barb Fuller, and Deanne McCormick. Our liturgist today is Greta Delaney. We also welcome our special guest, Reverend Dr. Ashley Clear, the Executive Director of our National Association of Congregational Christian Churches. And we also welcome our Congregational Ambassador as part of our Central Association of the Congregational Christian Churches, Reverend Jerry Turner, who's seated in the congregation. Jerry, it's a joy to have you today. Ashley will be sharing a little later to the congregation in a few minutes, and will join me in welcoming our new members a little bit later. Well, we are excited to welcome several new members today that will be introduced to the entire congregation. In their honor and in appreciation of the sacrificial effort of Dr. Clear to be here, we will enjoy a complete meal in the Friendship Center following worship today, and we hope all of you can stay and enjoy, because we don't like to throw out food. It's not a good thing. Although, no, all right, well, whatever. But we just would welcome you all. That meal has been prepared for everyone, so we look forward to that. Now, there's another new member, along with nine potential new members that some of you have been aware of. Just off the porch of the church, there is a mother, either a wood or a mallard duck, that has decided and wandered up here, probably from the river, and is sitting so beautifully and in a motherly fashion, nurturing and warming nine eggs. So Bruce Cushion, who so faithfully comes and waters and takes care of yard duties sometimes, came in to me and he said, I want to tell you about a new member. So we haven't named her yet, but you can be respectful even as you see the duck, one of God's wonderful creatures gracing our presence at the door of the church. Beginning this Saturday and continuing till next Tuesday, the annual meeting of our national organization will convene in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Your delegate is Jen Hall, whose brother is the chair of the host committee, Reverend Marty Hall. And Jen will join me and Deanne as we leave on Friday morning for Milwaukee. We appreciate your prayers for us and for our director, Ashley, as she carries a heavy burden of leadership during this time. Next Sunday, in my absence, Reverend Linda Farmer Lewis will be preaching and conducting the worship service during our stay in Milwaukee. Linda is well known to many of you, and she always looks forward to her time here. I understand, as usual, there is some very special music being planned also. So from Milwaukee, I will skip out on some of the worship and be watching the Mayflower service. Finally, our worship theme is What Should Never Change, and is grounded in a most treasured psalm, number 100. Listen for echoes of that theme in all of our worship today. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day. Every time we gather as your beloved community, it is special, and we welcome all of you to our worship service. Today, however, is a day we will long remember here at Mayflower. We are welcoming many new members into our church, including several whose churches are now closed, including mine. Well, one of our new members was recently baptized here and joins by affirmation of his newfound faith in Christ. Others are joining from other churches and traditions. One thing remains constant among us and should never change. We are all sheep of God's pasture. So get ready as we listen to joyful noises played on the piano, organ, and trumpets, as we make joyful noises with our voices in song and word. Finally, may joyful noises resonate within our hearts as we worship. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we are grateful for each opportunity we are given to gather as your beloved community. We especially give you thanks for those who have chosen to join Mayflower today. May your blessings rest upon each of them, and may we unfold them into our care and love. We thank you for enfolding all of us into your care and love as the sheep of your pasture. In our continuing moments of worship today, we ask that you would bind our hearts together as we accept our covenantal mission to love and serve our neighbors, including the least of these, your brothers and sisters. We pray this and all our prayers in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Reverend Dr. Clear is not only the director of our national organization, I'm just very proud to say that she has become one of my dear friends. And it is very special to welcome her to this pulpit, this congregation, and this sanctuary. And Ashley comes to share with us at this time.
Thank you, Mark, for your friendship and your leadership, and for your welcome, all of you. I'm pleased to be here on behalf of the 298 churches and 27,000 souls that comprise the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches on this momentous occasion here at Mayflower Congregational Church. When I talked to Mark in the middle of the week, we talked about what color stoles to wear and decided on white because today is a day of celebration. And white is a festival color used on Christmas Day and Easter, emblematic of birth and resurrection. On Epiphany, the bringing of the light, and on Baptism of the Lord Sunday and other days when individuals are baptized. So white is a most fitting day when white is a most fitting color for a day when Mayflower Congregational Church of Lansing, Michigan receives new members. I'm putting new members in quotes because many who will be received into this unique covenant today are not new to the body of Christ in Lansing, Michigan, or the wider fellowship that is the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches. On this Sunday before the annual meeting of our national organization, we remember previous generations of Congregationalists here in Lansing who hosted the annual meeting in 1983 and 2001. As Mayflower welcomes new members into the fold, the old, long-standing members are also entering into a new relationship. Covenants are defined by the people who make them. So each time people join, it becomes a new covenant. So there's a sense in which everyone here today is a new member of Mayflower Congregational Church because it's a new covenant. Truly a day of celebration. So we wear white. I'm fortunate to have several white stoles. So after the decision about color was made, I had another choice to make. Should I wear the white stole once worn by Dr. Walter, the former president of Piedmont College, where Jen Hall attended, and I have connections to her and her family through Piedmont? Or the white stole that was cross-stitched in the Holy Land, a gift to me from Dr. J. Turbush, with whom I served at South Church in Hartford, after his many years as pastor of the First Congregational Church of St. John's. Because of those ties and his ties to Plymouth Church of Lansing, I wore that stole on April 30th. For this occasion, I selected another white stole. All of these were gifts to me, which is great. I chose this stole, which was presented to me on my last day as pastor of Covenant Congregational Church, a new church start at Piedmont College. Well, the word Alleluia certainly fits this day of celebration. There is more to the story. If you look at the back of the stole, all of the members signed it and offered good wishes. So these unseen words, their wisdom and love, accompany me. I carry them on my shoulders and in my heart. Whether I am wearing the stole or not, they, like all the members of every church I called home, remain a part of my faith journey. Although Covenant Church made the difficult decision that it was not sustainable and closed its doors, its impact on those of us who worshiped and shared significant moments there together abides and will always shape who we are and the contributions we make to the body of Christ. When meaningful relationships of any nature draw to a close for any reason, the blessings from those dear to us endure. Sometimes with tangible gifts, such as a stole, or through holy mystery. In ways that elude our comprehension, God provides abundant, lasting companionship. What is unseen can be more stirring than that which is visible. The congregational way honors Christ as the head of each local church and the church universal, the body of Christ in every time and place. Take a moment, if you will, to remember and reflect on individuals and congregations who influenced your faith. Whose words inspired you? What gestures granted you courage? When did you break bread and feel full? Recall a milestone moment that changed your thinking. Was there a wedding or funeral? A favorite hymn or verse of scripture? A still small voice or a whirlwind in which God spoke to you through other human beings? What memories dwell in your heart forever? Who are the unseen companions here with you today? This morning, the covenant that comprises Mayflower Congregational Church of Lansing, Michigan, gains new members. Somewhere in the church records, an updated number will be entered. And increasing the count, the church rolls, while cause for celebration only hints at the immeasurable influence of all the people who enhance this particular covenant through their unseen, unending nurture. Some traditions view the color white as symbolic of completeness. May the promises all of you make here today be a sign of wholeness, your belief that membership in this community of faith completes who you are each and every day.
Thank you.
Some of you musically inclined folks may recognize that strain of hymn that's called the Old 100th, the 100th Psalm. To give of ourselves, our time, our talents, and our resources has very little to do with money itself. It has everything to do with lifestyle, motivation, and commitment. Thank you, Mayflower, for checking these boxes as we continue to bless our church, our neighborhood, our community, and our world. If you have come prepared with an offering, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. For all of us, let us now worship God with a giving of all that we have and all that we are as we now bless God in this holy act of worship. Thanks be to God. How about now? All right, the moment you've all been waiting for as part of our worship service today, and that is this very sacred moment when we welcome 14 new members, one of whom is not here today and is not able to attend church. Her name is Norma Chamberlain, and you may know, some of you may know her as the sister of Don Ketchison. So Dawn, when I invite all of the new members to come up, if you would like to come in her stead, I'm also inviting anybody that wants to come and stand alongside as a sponsor or just a person or a friend that you'd like to come up and join. And we welcome also another one of God's creatures, little Gracie is a service dog that came with Regina today, and we welcome Gracie to our worship service. So Ashley and I will step out this way. We'll face all of the folks that are joining. So if you are part of the new member gang, as it were, come on up and we'll face you. We'll make sure there's room for everyone. Yeah, Jody, go right ahead. Yeah, I hope there's some if you have, there's no restrictions on photos here today, so feel free if you want to position yourselves in a better spot for photos, that's great. And Jerry Turner, I think you belong up here. Come on up, Jerry, our ambassador and another one of my very dear friends. So come on up and be a sponsor to all of them, Jerry, all of us. And as crowded as it is up here, in the house of God, there's always room for everyone, okay? So welcome. Now, I'd like to wish I could actually tell some of the stories as I know them of each of these people. We'd be here for a long time, but I would like to introduce our new members today. And since I have to kind of look around here, if I miss somebody, please let me know. Wave your hand or whatever. I'll start here. Dawn Ketchison is representing her sister, Norma Chamberlain, and Dawn and I were able to go over to Norma's house in East Lansing just a couple of weeks ago. We sat down, and Dawn and I were the congregation, and Norma came in as a member, so we were carrying her certificate today. So thank you for standing in her stead. Evelyn Van Kirk, Marion Korok, Jen Hall. You know what? Let me try that again. I just want everybody just to give a little wave here so we know who we're talking about here. Once again, Dawn Ketchison for her sister, Evelyn Van Kirk, Marion Korok, Jen Hall, Regina Dunn, Betty Dunn, Clint Dunn, I've got it. And let me see here, Stan Freeberg. Wave, Stan, there you go. And Pat Shannabrook, and Sue Kohler, Greta Delaney, Charlotte Schaup, Dick Schaup, and David Mandra. Did I miss anybody? All right, now, for all the sponsors and friends, you folks give a little wave here. Okay, that's good. Now, this is a simple ceremony, as well it should be, but it has profound implications for all of us today, as Ashley has already so eloquently reminded all of us that we all commit ourselves to something new every time this happens. So with that, Ashley and I are going to give the charge, and you will all answer together, "I do," if indeed you do, and "I think you do." Okay? So Ashley and I will now speak together. Seeking membership in this church, do you accept the religion of love and service that Jesus taught and lived? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, to make the Spirit of Christ dominant in your relationships, also recognizing that we are all human. We make mistakes, and sometimes we need to be forgiven and to offer forgiveness. Do you therefore covenant together with all the members and friends of Mayflower Church to prayerfully promote harmony, faithfulness, and unconditional love, accepting a share in its privileges and duties, insofar as you are able, God being our helper? And the response? Great. That's the response we were kind of looking for, okay? Now we have a response for all of us, the friends and family of Mayflower, and this one is just as important as the one that was just spoken. So now we share together our response. We rejoice with you and joyfully receive you into membership and fellowship. We pledge our Christian love as you have promised us. We humbly pray to God that both you and we may be true to this covenant forever through Jesus Christ, the Christ. Amen. And now we're going to share together in the Mayflower Church Covenant, which is also written that you have. Let's join together. We are banded together as a Christian church to maintain the worship of God, to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to develop a sense of our relationship and duty to God and our fellow persons, and to be an inspiration for love, truth, and passion for righteousness and enthusiasm for service. To this end, we pledge our loyalty to Christ and covenant with each other to strive to express Christ's Spirit in our individual and corporate lives, to live together as Christians and to submit ourselves to the government of this church, working, giving, praying for its increase, its purity, its peace, and seeking in every way to make it a power for the building up of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now we're going to present you with membership certificates. Lorraine has them, and our lay leader, Ruth Posh, is up here. And Ashley and I are going to simply shake hands with as many people as we can, welcoming you and those that stand in with you today. And then after that, you can return to your seats, and our worship will continue. Okay. Hannah. Okay, go ahead. We'll just go ahead. You can start, shake, and then Ruth, go ahead. Okay. Mr. Evelyn.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Psalm 100. How'd you guess that? Our chosen lectionary scripture is Psalm 100, one of the most beloved psalms. One of the reasons it's so loved here is because it resonates within our beloved community. So hear now these words. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Thanks be to God.
I shall now offer my pastoral prayer, along with a prayer for God's blessing upon the spoken word. Let us now pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord of time and space, we offer gratitude as we have entered your gates with thanksgiving. And as our hearts are full of thanksgiving, we acknowledge, Lord, the continuing needs of prayer for our hurting and broken world. For refugees who escape violence and hunger. For those who have experienced earthquake, devastating wind, fire, and flood. For those who are entwined in heated and often terrible an uncivil political debate. We pray for your healing in our land. Now, Lord, we pray especially in this gathering, at this time and place, upon each of those who have made the decision to become a part of this beloved community, along with your beloved community around the world. And so we join with them in this place called Mayflower to advance your kingdom through our commitment to unconditional love, sacrificial giving, and our service to each other and to this world. Be with those who are on our prayer list and on our hearts as we mention first names that come to our hearts and minds just now. Dear Lord, you know those names and the lives and circumstances which are represented with each of those names and people who have been spoken, as well as others upon our hearts and on our prayer list. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pray for answered prayer even now as we join in the prayer that our Lord has taught like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 100 is one of the most familiar of all the songs of praise in the scriptures, and particularly those that we find in the book of Psalms. It is so familiar that it is easy to read right over it. This was one of the chapters that I was required as a child to memorize. Thousands of hymns and choruses are based on it, so it is also easy to sing right through it. Psalm 100 has become the banner hymn in many Christian traditions, including ours. A metrical version of this psalm was written for John Knox in 1561, entitled All People on Earth Do Dwell, and a companion tune was composed by Louis Bourgeois, which has become known, as I referred to earlier, Old 100th, referring, of course, to the 100th Psalm. 450 years later, it is a tune that accompanies what is known as the doxology, which we sang and sing every Sunday as we present our offering and commitments to God at the altar. Does the repeated routine of this liturgy detract from the meaning and depth of the psalm? If the answer is yes, this sermon is designed to change that, and perhaps that speaks to all of us. This psalm has implications which are personal, communal, and cosmic. And I begin by addressing a few comments directly to our newest of congregants, and it is very personal. One of you joined Mayflower because it is the first church you will have ever been a part. And that is a cause for celebration, David. Another joined because you were looking for a church that more accurately reflected the tradition and style in which you were raised as you said goodbye to another congregation. That too is cause for celebration as your search has brought you here, invited and encouraged by a faithful friend. For the most of you, however, you joined today because your most beloved and former churches where you have worshiped, supported, and served, several of you for many years in many different capacities, closed their doors and no longer exist. Because of the difficulty and dynamics of a declining church, subsequent closure, Some of you have been in exile regarding church life. While we acknowledge the possibility and likelihood of conflicting emotions, we have literally and symbolically thrown the doors of our church and our hearts wide open as we say, "Welcome to our beloved community." But this psalm also addresses and incorporates the arena of corporate worship, which has communal implications. When looking for and then searching for a church, worship style is one factor among many informing one's decision. In our scripture, the 100th psalm speaks to worship. At Mayflower, while we respect all Christian traditions of worship, we still believe in hymnals, choir robes, organs and pianos, carefully planned and orderly worship, somewhat in the liturgical tradition, but typically less formal. We do not believe our worship style is exclusive to the older set or old-fashioned, even though no style appeals to everyone. Today, Greta and Jamie are examples of our goal of intergenerational worship and church life. We strive for freedom in the spirit, at the same time recognizing that while all worship can be emotive, we often subjugate our own emotions for the corporate good. We believe variety and surprises in style and structure can be useful and helpful from time to time in both music and the spoken word. Drama and other forms of the creative arts are always on the table for our worship and should be employed. Although piano and organ are staples and so beautifully played this morning, we have and will feature guitars, ukuleles, tambourines, bells, wind chimes, drums, and all manner of brass and woodwind, as well as stringed instruments like violins, cellos, and basses. Sometimes we find God in secular music, like the time we sang two Beatles songs in our worship. Maybe we'll do that again. And Roy, I'm encouraging Deanne to use her accordion she acquired from you at some point, whether in worship or otherwise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. The scripture includes many instruments which are employed in the worship of God. And this isn't a totally complete list, but here is some of that list. A sistrum, whatever that is, panpipes, the lyre, a psaltery, a dulcimer, the timbrel, what we know as a tambourine, the lute that is something like a guitar, the harp, cymbals, bells, yes, there are bells in the Bible, a shofar horn, clappers, trumpets, shakers, and rattles, among others. Bet you didn't know that. All four groups of instruments are mentioned: string, percussion, brass, and woodwind. The first line of our chosen psalm, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord," is instructional, reminding us that joyful noises transcend that which happens in a service of worship. There are so many ways joyful noises can and should be heard within the beloved community. We have heard some joyful noises today, as we always do in our worship gatherings, as we have been graced by the beautiful noises produced on a percussion instrument known as the piano, an electronic instrument intended to reproduce the sound of pipes with our recently acquired organ, and the clarion note of the trumpet played and accompanied so beautifully. But beyond formal worship, there are other joyful noises I have heard, and perhaps you have heard similar ones. Less than 2 hours ago, I heard the cheerful, confident, and joyful voice of Dr. Clear as she entered this sanctuary, not for the first time, as I greeted her. I love the joyful noises of greeters and greetings I often hear as worshipers enter the lobby each Sunday with laughter, sometimes a joke, lighthearted ribbing, "How are yous?" and "So good to see yous." I hear the joyful noises of final rehearsals in this sanctuary with Barb and the worship team before worship, joyful noises as the coffee is made, the food is prepared, communion is readied, and last-minute adjustments like the vestments today, and for the sound and video for worship, which are made at the desk of our production engineer, the genius whose name is Kim Finneson. Believe it or not, I hear joyful noises as we slog through important and necessary changes on the bylaws committee that has met about 15 times and many more to come, but we're getting there. Joyful and positive noises have been heard as the building committee finalizes the plans and bids for complete handicap access, even as a capital campaign is being prepared. I heard joyful noises when we found out that our parking lot patching, sealing, and lining was completed just yesterday and readied for today. Did you notice it? Did you smell it? Following worship in our Friendship Center, I hear joyful noises of catching up with each other, reaching out to visitors and new members, listening and watching the presentation of our mission team that went to Mexico, discovering mutual needs, suggesting new avenues for service, eating delicious gin-prepared desserts, prayers and well wishes as three of us join Ashley at the annual meeting in Milwaukee that begins this week, or Lorraine retrieving information for name tags or the directory. In the cleanup after coffee hour, even the dishwashers produce joyful noises in the background sounds as food is given or put away, floors are swept, and the kitchen left spick and span. I hear joyful noises twice a month as mission meals are prepared for the women and children at the Lansing Rescue Mission. We'll eat one of those meals today. We heard joyful noises before worship this morning as the new members were briefed, introduced to each other, and prayed over. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. That means everyone. Joyful noises come in many forms and grace our worship services, our times of fellowship, and in all our interactions within and without the beloved community, all the while honoring the dignity and tradition of our congregational way. So what is it that shall never change? The final implications of this psalm are cosmic and unchangeable in nature and scope, and begin in verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture, which has great implications for the faithfulness of your pastor. The lesson is remarkably simple, yet deeply profound. God rules the world, and consequently, we belong to God. This message not only lies within the book of Psalms, but in the teachings of Christ and the whole of Scripture. We are not our own. This is a difficult lesson to hear in a culture that encourages us to be self-made women and men. We unknowingly, unwittingly believe the popular saying that it is my life to live. Did you know that still the most popular song sung at funerals, chosen by the deceased, is, if you guessed it, I did it my way. To view the world as the sphere of God's sovereignty rather than the arena of human progress has profound ecological and economic implications. Creation does not exist simply for the sake of humanity. We think of ourselves as creators, but we are also creatures. When we act as if it's all on us, the results are disastrous. Dirty water, I should know, I live in Flint. Polluted air, soil erosion, and even the depletion of the ozone layer. We often do not understand the world in anything but scientific terms. So creation becomes not a sacred trust, but a realm to be explored and then exploited. Certainly and unequivocally, we believe that our understanding of God's sovereign rule of the world does not conflict with modern science. But we begin and end with God's rule and reign. But in that belief, in that declaration, in that confession, a little honesty here is imperative. There are realities and events which question God's faithfulness and love that we sing about and declare in our worship each Sunday. These realities are the circumstances which often seem to deny it. Exile, evil, alienation, disaster, war, suffering, and death itself, including the death of churches. The wicked prosper and crime pays. Yet, we join with the psalmist to declare enthusiastically that God alone rules the world and that God's purposes and goodness can be trusted. We so often believe that nations are saved by their great armies and that security is found in the implements of war. The great irony with this, according to the great theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, is that the very efforts to secure our own destiny and future have rendered us even more insecure and vulnerable. How is that working for us? We forget that God rules the world and we do not. That includes our own worlds. To heed this call, says the commentator, is nothing less than a revolutionary transmutation of our values. The things people see that seem so obviously powerful, armies, politicians, and weapons, are exposed in the light of God's sovereignty to be mere illusion. The real power behind the universe, human history, and personal existence is, as the psalmist repeats over and over again, the steadfast love of God, which fills the earth and is revealed ultimately not by God's absolute enforcement of God's will, but by God's forgiveness of sin, which is also a theme of the Psalms, especially in Psalm 32, when the psalmist declares, "Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit." The guarantee we Christians possess is reinforced and actualized in the Gospels, and that of the Apostle Paul, who taught the same lesson, rooted in the heart of Christian confession and belief. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." We, folks, are the body of Christ, the beloved community. The astounding good news is that the ultimate reality and power of the universe is love. That power is made perfect in weakness, says the apostle. And the love that motivated God to create humankind and bear the burden of our disobedience is the love manifested in the story of Israel, in the life and words of the psalmist, and in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, visibly demonstrated by that which adorns our sanctuary, the empty cross. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
That kind of says it all, doesn't it? Now, as we either go out the door, and some may have to leave, but for most of you, entering the Friendship Center, where we break bread together, is our chance to live out what we sing and talk about in this room, the holy sanctuary of God, where fellowship begins, worship continues, here in the Friendship Center and everywhere. May the peace of God go with you. Amen. The joy and celebration, as always, has been here in this sanctuary as we worship. But as I've reminded this congregation and others many times, our worship continues and our work begins to extend that love we sing and talk about to others. So insofar as you're able, take the opportunity. We're not going to have a receiving line. I just want to reassure all the new members. We're not going to have a receiving line, but you will have the opportunity at your discretion to greet those who have joined us, others that you want to catch up with like we've talked, the joyful noises that continue. Go in peace, and for most of us, let's eat.